finishing the story, as I was talking to him, I said, you know, that's inevitable. When we learn things, they become kind of a part of us, and we tend, you know, they form some of what we think and what we speak. So there's nothing wrong with that. But when you begin imitating Old Testament prophets in your speech around people, especially in a group where the, quote, gifts of the Spirit are coming and someone believes they are to prophesy, the New Testament concept is simply you're speaking infallible truths. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord, because you don't talk that way anyway, right? Am I having more fun than y'all? Y'all with me? Okay. These kinds of things, we should be speaking plainly. We should be speaking straight out, and sometimes a lot of that extra verbiage is subterfuge. Y'all know what I'm saying? Okay, you stuck that in there to make it a little bit ambiguous or vague, so if it didn't come out just right, you're okay, right? Yeah, we kind of shadow it with that stuff just in case it wasn't exactly what you said. And again, having another conversation, I said, you know, if that's the way you really feel at the moment, you should keep your mouth shut. You know, you don't have to say anything. If you're not totally convinced that what you're saying is the right thing to say and it's the right time to say it, then just don't say it. I'll back up. Literally. In fact, here's what Paul said over in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. You remember he was talking about coming down through the gifts of the Spirit, and he got to that place where you're talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Right? And he said, and here's what I'm praying for you in all declaration, supplication in the Spirit, watching into these things with all declaration, supplication in the Spirit, and making intercession, interceding over saints. And then he said, and for me, that word may be given me in the opening of my mouth in parousia, in that boldness, with confidence or resolve, I may speak plainly. And then he had the same pattern about or concerning the mysterion, the mystery of the Gospels. Hear the contrast there? I want to talk plainly, frankly, confidently, openly, boldly about the mystery of the Gospel. What does that mean? To do exactly what Jesus said. I want to take what's been hidden in a mystery and I want to speak it out so plainly with such confidence that everybody that hears it hears exactly what I'm saying plainly. That's the way we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to try to frame it in ways where people may or may not get it. And frankly, I have to watch myself because I'll do that. I know going back years with my sons, they would talk about an in-your-face kind of thing. And they didn't want to be an in-your-face kind of Christian. And understand where they're coming from, but on the other hand, you also don't want to back off to the point to where people don't hear what you're saying. You should never be ashamed to talk about the name of Jesus. And again, maybe everybody in the room might be guilty. I don't know. I know I have been. We could talk about God, we could talk about the Lord, but we don't usually just say Jesus. One of the things I'm so impressed about people who are surrounding our president at this point, I've begun to notice in many instances how these people, they don't just call upon the name of the Lord, they talk about Jesus. And that always perks my ears up. Because people don't use that name lightly. You know, they may talk about the man upstairs or God Almighty. But they don't usually say Jesus unless they know him, unless they're familiar with him. Again, that's just another way of speaking plainly about what goes on. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, I want you to declare, to intercede over me, that the opening of my mouth may be with parousia, with frank, bold, literal speaking to make known the mystery of the gospel. Yes, it's been a mystery. It was hidden in a mystery literally for millennia, because God knew it before the foundation of the world. But Jesus came and spoke in parables to fulfill the prophets so that the people would hear but not see or understand. But then this night, he stood there and looked at them and said, that's the way it was. Here's the way it is. From now on, I'm going to tell you plainly, openly, frankly about the Father. So now we're back to where we were 25 minutes ago. You want to know? Look at that and say, Jesus, you said you would. And again, he has. And we were using the example of Paul, what this man wrote down. But listen, God hasn't quit talking. Jesus hasn't quit showing us things. It's not all there yet. And the way I would say that to you is this. When we read the book, when we're looking at the letter, for instance, of Paul, or 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, or even James, or 1st and 2nd Peter, when we're reading these things from these men who Jesus spoke to plainly, some in the flesh and everybody through the Spirit, disclosing the things of him to us like he said he would in the 16th chapter of John, all of these things coming into us, when these things are being spoken, they were being written down, and when we read them, we, quote, see, right? However, some of it still remains a little ambiguous to us through translation and time and the fact that we don't see it exampled a lot. But he's still speaking. And I believe that all of it still hasn't been revealed. As we talked about it, going back to the light example that we've used now for weeks and weeks. Even though Paul wrote it down literally the way he heard it, and he said, here's what's happening, we can understand that in a way that he couldn't because of the applied physics that it now go on literally around the world, right? Yes. Things keep going. We shouldn't always be looking back. The way I would put it is, it's not like a second hand thing coming down through the generation. Each generation does receive from the one before, but they also increase it. There's more.